Matnab versus Kais Leeslin. So we'll just hear from the appellant. Whenever you are ready, counsel, please feel free to begin. You will have 15 minutes for your argument without rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor.
You're welcome.
If it may please the court, my name is Carl Blondin. I represent the appellant, John Michael Kishelishin. Your Honors, this case has involved a lot of litigation over the years. We have a 16 and a half year old child who is very unhappy with what the court has ordered and what the parents are trying to do. My client brought a motion to change physical custody to look at what reality is. This is a situation where the law is clear. The courts must look very carefully at the wishes of an older teen. Part of the problem is the district court has not been looking at those wishes. My client made a motion for a change in custody with a very detailed affidavit, which is in the addendum to the brief. I respectfully submit that that affidavit is more than sufficient to set out a prima facie case for a change in custody. The law doesn't require that my client show in the prima facie case that the child is endangered, only that it may be endangered. I submit that affidavit is more than sufficient, and the reason the litigation is going on, quite frankly, is no one is taking any time to listen to the child. I prefer to answer questions than lecture.
Thank you. Do I pronounce it right? Is it Mr. Blondin?
Blondin, yes, Your Honor.
Mr. Blondin, you argue that the denial of the motion was erroneous because the judgment and decree in this case had no provision for mediation before motions for a change in custody. It only has a provision for mediation on parenting issues. Is that correct?
Correct. And okay. Parenting issue we would contend would be when is homework done, watching television.
So you're saying rules. Custody is not a parenting issue?
No, Your Honor.
Wouldn't that be the most basic of parenting issues?
Excuse me?
Wouldn't that be the most basic of parenting issues?
No, Your Honor. I think it is a separate issue. Who has custody? Parenting issues have to do with raising the child, discipline.
Did the agreement define parenting?
The agreement, no. Okay. It did not define parenting issues.
So we would have to conclude then that the court erred by believing that parenting also include custody, right? Even
correct.
Though there's no definition that says parenting is the issues you're talking about, homework, school, I don't know, sports, stuff, you know, blah, 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 you know, religion, stuff like that. Okay.
Yes, Your Honor. In addition, the court would have to rule that the parties could basically contract away statutory provisions in place to protect children. This has long been the law in Minnesota. I do cite State X-ray Feely from 1929.
I'm looking at the stipulation with regard to resolution of any future disputes, which is the when parenting issues arise provision. And I don't see that provision is contracting away best interests of the child. They shall timely consult with involved professionals, doctors, therapists, people like that, who, and parenting consultants who presumably are looking at the best interests of the child and this family.
And those are parenting issues as opposed to the issue of custody. And certainly if there's a dispute on, you know, which doctor, something like that, yes, it would have to be mediated quickly, and probably the court would have to make a quick decision. And one of the problems here is things are going on forever and forever and forever. We have a young woman who is now a student at a local private university. Under federal law, the parents have no say in what courses she takes there once she's registered. The courts do need to listen to older teens. It's not fair for me to lecture from my experience, but I am an experienced attorney, contemporary of your honors. It is very difficult to make a decision about what is best for a child if you never listen to a child. One of the lessons I've learned as an attorney is good judges recognize that kids need to be allowed to make mistakes. I remember many years ago I had a case where I won physical custody for a woman with 10 children. It was assigned to me by now defunct legal aid organization. I sort of kept track of it, and I noticed as the kids got older, the boys in their 16, they were off with their dad, who had thrown one child down the stairs on top of the mother. Was dad a good choice? I don't know. But that judge recognized you just can't force older teens to do what they don't want to do. I filed another appeal on this case where the district court found my client in contempt. I should be e-filing the brief next week, and that revolves around my client not controlling the child the way the court wants my client to control the child. This child is not a difficult child, at least from my perspective as a parent. The courts need to listen to older teens. If that
you
is,
and I understand your arguments there, but I mean, isn't the judge just saying you've agreed you're going to go to mediation on these issues, and to the extent you haven't done that, you can't bring your motion?
Correct, and I was,
and so that, isn't that the only issue that's really before us? Because you're claiming that that does not include a change of custody, right?
Well, it's the first issue. The first issue is, yes, and that's what the trial court judge based his decision on, was you must mediate. I respectfully contend that parenting issues, yes, that's a big area, but custody is another big area. They are not the same thing. And unless the agreement specifically says custody, you can't read that into the agreement. And I did, I believe, cite the Richardson case. Yes, an unpublished opinion of this court, which seems to be pretty much on point. The facts here, I'd say, are even stronger.
But, I mean, in that case, the court didn't deny the motion based on the mediation clause, right? It rejected the argument, correct? So isn't that a little different here?
I still think it is an important case. I think it's obviously persuasive. It's not controlling because it is not a published opinion. What would be important here in reversing the district court, it's putting my client in the same position, the appellant in the same position as other parents throughout the state of Minnesota, where we have an older teen. And that is all we're asking for, Your Honors.
But would you agree that if we deem that the dissolution agreement included parenting time and other parenting provisions to be resolved by mediation or to be submitted to mediation prior to coming to the district court, we don't need to reach the underlying merits of this case.
True.
Correct.
The only thing that really the important decision, you're correct, is this does not specifically state custody. If it doesn't specifically state custody, the appellant is allowed to litigate the issue.
Well, and the reason, you know, as I look at the dissolution judgment, I mean, it has a heading, parenting time and other parenting provisions, and then the first attachment is custody to that.
On the judgment and decree?
Right.
Or the, okay.
Right. And then it's just resolution of any future disputes, and there's no limitation in that. Am I correct? There's no limitation on the language saying any future disputes are to be submitted to mediation first.
I didn't bring the judgment decree.
I mean, there's nothing excluding custody from that. Requirement to seek out the services of a mediator.
Are you talking about paragraph 17?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm looking for the word custody. That seems to be about disputes on what to do with the child. It's talking about doctors, school personnel, therapists. It's not an issue of custody.
Well, my question was, is there anything in there, since it's under that heading, is there anything in there excluding custody from that requirement?
It wouldn't specifically include it, but my argument is it doesn't include it. Custody is a separate decision. There's a separate statutory provision for it. It's this attachment A is parenting time and other parenting provisions. One is custody, and then it talks about other things, and we're down at 17. You have 15, relationships in contact with significant others. That doesn't touch on custody. There's a whole list of things after custody that don't touch on custody. There's a heading, it's parenting time and other parenting provisions. It does not include custody. It involves other issues, how we resolve these other issues. Custody is a big deal, and we don't want people coming to court arguing, should John be playing the trumpet or the trombone? That shouldn't be in front of judges. But issues of legal and physical custody should be in front of judges. And in order to get some of these, you know, issues.
This doesn't prohibit this being presented to a judge. All it's saying is, as happens all the time, is that mediators handle custody issues all the time.
They do.
And that this should go to a mediator first before it's submitted to a judge.
And I respectfully submit that the way it's written, the plain language, does not require mediation on custody issues, especially here where we have an allegation of endangerment. The law in Minnesota is clear. If an older teen is not living where they want to live, there's a presumption of endangerment. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you very much, Mr. Blunden. The matter is submitted. That being our last oral argument of the day, we are now adjourned.